Well, I've enjoyed the singing today from the congregations right on down to each special, and I'm just thankful that we can come together and enjoy the songs of the faith, and that's what we've heard today. You have your Bible open to Psalm 32, and before I get started into the message this morning, I have a card. I'm not going to read the entire card. I'm going to put it back in the back, but this is a card from my wife and I. Just stating to you, thank you for the thoughtfulness, and thank you for the gifts, and thank you for sending us away. We probably didn't stay gone as long as you wanted us to. We're back. I'm just kidding. But we sure did enjoy ourselves, and we're thankful for your thoughtfulness. 40 years is the 40 best years of my life. And Sharon said amen. You didn't hear, but she did say amen. And then 15 years as being your pastor, well, that's a milestone, and we thank God for that privilege. It's an opportunity to serve you, and we want to serve the Lord as we serve you. I'll put the thank you card. Sharon's words are much better on the card, and so I just want to say thank you from Sharon and I for your thoughtfulness to she and I. Also wanted to say that tonight in the service, I'm going to just kind of carve out some time. I feel the Lord would have me to do this. For some testimonies, maybe God is working in your heart. I know we've had some folks going out on soul winning on Fridays and Saturdays, and I know that we had some good visits yesterday, and I've been hearing that you're having good visits. I think it's good just to share some of those things that God's doing as you witness to people and as you serve the Lord, and so we'll talk about that a little in the service tonight. So you be thinking about that. And you be praying what God would have you to do. Well, we've completed our first week of Fellowship Baptist Academy. Brandon and Jennifer and Sister Putnam are still alive, and they're able to be at church today, so we praise the Lord for that. I heard it was a great week, and we praise God for that. Monday, tomorrow, we'll kick off the first day of We Care Center here at the church, and so our Child Development Center will begin. So you pray much for these ministries, that God would help us and that God would navigate us through each one of those ministries. I didn't mention Sister Karen. She's got the gravy job, literally. I heard that they had some good gravy biscuits, and I missed it by that much. And so, Lord willing, I'll be up here each day next week, though, for breakfast and lunch. All right, and I'm not joking. So Psalm 32, you have your Bible open. I want to talk to you and preach to you some about being happy. I want to ask you some questions, and listen, these are questions you answer in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. This is between you and God. Are you happy? Are you happy? Say, well, I am sometimes, or I am, or I'm not. And that's just a question I want you to really answer honestly in your heart. Are you happy? If so, why? What makes you happy? How have you become happy? If not, why? Why aren't you happy? Now, someone has said, well, God's not concerned that you're happy. Well, I think that's not the chief concern of God. The chief concern for God is that we be holy. That's right. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're to be holy as He is holy. But now God is concerned that we're happy. He is. Over and over in the Word of God, God says, I want you to be happy. And He's laid out, and I'm just going to, over the next few Sunday mornings, the Lord willing now, I'm going to lay out some biblical teaching on how you can be happy. See, the world has its ideas of how to be happy. And can I tell you, I've tried many of them. They didn't make me happy. Now, they gave me a little source of jubilation for a period, just a season. But now what I'm going to talk to you about from the Bible is not only happiness for a season, it's happiness that continues. It's a staying happiness. It's a way to have that joy of the Lord in your soul to where your happiness doesn't vacillate or it doesn't alter depending on what you're doing or where you are. See, if you're on the mountaintop in the world, you can be happy, but if you're in the valley, you're unhappy. But see, when you walk with God and you do it God's way, you can be happy in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. Amen. You can be happy when you're sick as well as when you're healthy. That's right. You can be happy when you have little or happy when you have much, when you're happy God's way. So what is God's way? What has God prescribed and what has God laid out that one might be happy? Well, I'm going to start with the chief one. Okay? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Notice what the psalmist said here. Now, this is a very familiar psalm. And I'm going to approach it just a little different, though there'll be some things that you've heard before. Probably all that I'm going to say you've heard before, but I'm going to approach it just a little different. I'm going to approach it from David's perspective on where he's at now versus where he was. And so he said in verse number 1, blessed. Now that word means happy, okay? And it means more than happy. See, this is not talking about blessed because of the blessings. No, this is not what this is talking about. Now, certainly, if you're a child of God, you are a receiver, a recipient of God's blessings. Amen. God's people are a blessed people. I'm a blessed man. I thank God for His blessings. But now, this is not talking about receiving, you've received a blessing from God. This is talking about something deeper. This word has an intensity to it. This word has, well, if you'll notice in verse number 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Look at this. And shout for joy. You see that intensity. Shout. Be glad. You're blessed. Amen. Amen. There's something that has happened in your life worth talking about, amen, worth shouting about, amen, worth sharing with other people. Amen. And David said, I experienced that in my life. Now, David is talking about, and I want you to notice right under Psalm 32 where it says, a psalm of David. You see that next word there? Maskil. That word, there's been some conversation on what is that word. Some say it's a musical term, and some say, well, no, it's not a musical term at all. It's a term of learning. It means instruction. And so whether it means a musical term, it could be a song of instruction or a song of learning. What I learned, I put in song, a maskil, or it could be what I want to teach. I want to give instruction on what I've learned. I personally experienced this, and so maskil, I want to teach you what I've experienced in my walk with God. And David said, I have experienced the forgiveness of God, and I want to tell you, it's made me happy. Amen. It's made me blessed. It has intensified anything that the world has to offer. What God gave when I confessed my sin, when I came clean with God, when I received forgiveness, it intensified a happiness in my life like nothing else can do. And I want to tell you, I've experienced that too. And if you've experienced the forgiveness of God, you have too. And so David says here, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Amen. If you have received thanksgiving, you're a blessed individual. I want you to hold your place here, and I'll just turn to one in Psalm 145. Would you turn there? In Psalm 145, Psalm 146, verse 5. I'm sorry. Psalm 146, verse 5. This is one of the times that the psalmist uses the word blessed, but in its other form. Look at what he said. Now, there's other times in the Psalms, but this is one of the times. Look in verse number 5 of Psalm 146. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Same word, blessed, blessed, happy, with intensity, something to shout about. And so as we go back, I just want you to see that this word blessed, again, it's not a word now, I'm receiving blessings. It's something that I am. It's not something I'm receiving. Like when you think of the word blessed, you think of I'm receiving blessings, and thank God for that. It's a blessing to be forgiven, But he's saying, this is a result of that I've received. I'm happy. I'm blessed because I've received forgiveness. And this is where it begins. You want to be happy in life. You want to be happy in life, you must be forgiven. You have to live the forgiven life. Now, I'm not talking about just as far as the initiation of forgiveness. See, David was already a child of God. And David got outside of his walk with God, and it cost him that happiness, that intensity that he had with God prior to his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. You know the account in the Scripture. And so this is that account. It is kind of a twin to Psalm 51. It's when David came clean with God and said, you know what? I'm tired of the baggage. I'm tired of living life my way. I'm tired of covering my sin. I'm tired of arguing with God and trying to justify my ways. I want to do it God's way. I want to come clean with God. I want God to forgive me of my sin so I can enjoy the life that God has given me the way God intended me to enjoy it. And so he said, I need to experience that closeness, that walk with God again. Now, how can that happen? Well, you got to be forgiven. I want you to look at, if you would, down in verse number 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Now, I want you to watch this next phrase here. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I'm glad the verse doesn't end there. Selah. Rest. It is a musical term. Ponder. Think about it. Maybe even repeat. Read that again. Right? Look what he said. The latter part. He said, in verse number 5, he said, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Are you forgiven? You forgiven? Think about it. Think about all that means. Think about all that means. And this is what's swelling up in David's heart. He said, I'm forgiven. You know, some folks, possibly under the sound of my voice in the building, maybe those watching by live stream, have never experienced it. That's why nothing swells up in their heart when they ponder it. See, when people begin to talk about the joy of salvation and the joy of being forgiven and the joy of being washed in the blood and nothing swells up in your heart, it may be now, it may be. It's because you never experienced it. And then for those who have experienced it, and you're hiding it or you're covering it, and when people begin to talk about what it is to have that joy, that intensity of the blessedness, the happiness of walking in the Spirit and walking in the right relationship with God, it's like a deadness. It's like there's nothing there because there is no joy to those who walk outside of the forgiveness of God. So let's see what David said here. He said, I want to tell you about a time when I came clean with God, and it just brought my joy back. It brought my happiness back. And I realized I am one blessed individual. I'm happy. Are you happy? Are you? You say, well, sometimes I am. Well, can I tell you, you can be happy all the time that you're forgiven. Notice what it said here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. As long as you have your transgression forgiven, your iniquity, your sin forgiven, you can be happy. Is that what he's saying? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, he didn't say you'd be without problems. Didn't say that. He didn't say, I'll have no problems as long as my sin is forgiven. As long as my transgression is forgiven, I'll never experience any heartache. I'll never experience any sorrow. That's not what he's saying. He said, but I can experience joy. I can be happy in Jesus, in God, as long as my sin is forgiven. I can be. It's a choice. It's there. Right? How can it happen? Let's look at it. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I find it interesting that David would use that word. Because that's what he was doing. Now, they say by, and they meaning those who study the Psalms and who try to lay out dates and times, that David at this period of time in his life, in these mashal Psalms, was about a year removed from his act with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that was involved in that. And they say that in that year, David lays out some things that happened to him. And he said, it just absolutely stripped me of any joy, of any happiness. He said, my life was miserable. And he said, but oh, blessed be the day. Blessed be the day that God uncovered my sin. But yet, what God really did do is he covered it. Look at what he said. He said, I tried to cover it. He actually mentioned, if you'll notice in, he talked about he hid his sin. He said, I tried to cover my sin. I kept silence. Verse number 3. I kept silence. I didn't confess. I thought, I won't talk about it. It'll go away. Right? I kept silence. I won't talk to God. Now, this could mean he lost his song, too. David was a psalmist. He was a psalter. He played the harp, right? He said, I lost my song, but I think what he's saying here, because of the context of Scripture, he said, when I kept silence, I didn't talk to God about it. I kept it in. I wasn't willing to come clean with God. I tried to justify. Aren't we that way, brethren? Aren't we this way? Don't we try to justify our sin? Not me, preacher. Really. David did. You have too. I have too. See, this is Satan's, this is his trickery. This is his craftiness. Notice what David called it in the latter part of verse number 2. In whose spirit there is no guile, no deception. I'm just going to carry on like nothing happened. I'm just going to be this deceptive person to where I'm going to pretend that that's just something that happened. I'm going to move on and just say that, you know what, things will just get better. Can I tell you, things will never get better with sin in your life? Until we confess and come clean with God, it's not going to get better on its own. But that is the lie of the devil, isn't it? The lie of the devil is it'll get better. Time will heal it. But if Jesus doesn't forgive it, time will not heal it. See, that's the world's way of thinking. That's the world's way of doing things. And can I tell you, I've lived long enough in this life, in this world, to know that the way the world does it is backwards. It's always backwards. Well, time will heal it. Well, time will heal it if Jesus forgives it. But if it's not forgiven, it'll only fester. It'll only get like David said. Notice in verse number 3, when I kept silence, time didn't heal it, he said. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It just festered. It just built up. It was hounding me and holding me. It didn't get better. What didn't get better? He said, I kept silence. About what? Look what David said here in verse number 1. He said, blessed. I'm happy. And he said, so is others. So will you be if your transgression is forgiven. You know what a transgression is? It's a very interesting word. We've talked about this before. You remember? Did you write it down? It's very important to know how God looks at our sin and how we ought to look at our sin. A transgression is an act of rebellion. A transgression says, I'm going to cross that line. The line has been drawn. God has said, don't do this. I'm going to do it anyway. That's a transgression. It's an act of rebellion. Open, willful rebellion against what God's law has said. And he said, blessed is the man whose transgression, the rebellion against God. You think David didn't know better than to do what he did? It's easy when we're on this side, isn't it? Say, well, I tell you, that David, he should have known better. Right? Has he done anything recently that you knew better than not to do? He said, I'm not going to shake my head yet, preacher. Nobody else is. Well, just answer in your heart. I already know what the answer is anyway. That was kind of a rhetorical question. Transgression. God's laid out what's right and wrong. Not the preacher. Not the Sunday school teacher. Not even your parent. Listen, when it comes to right and wrong, there's absolutes in God, and God is who lays it out. Now, when our parents follow the model of God, we can lay out what God's laid out. The same with our pastors, our teachers, right? Yes. Transgression, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Look at what he said, whose sin is covered. The word sin there is a word that means, it's a hunting term. It means missing the mark, right? God has a standard. It's like an archery board. It's like a prey that you're hunting. And when you aim at that prey, you say, I'm going to hit that prey, and I'm going to have a kill. Then you aim and you miss. I mean, like, not just a little, way off. And that's what David is saying. He said, I missed the mark, and I tried to cover it. But God covered it for me. See, if we try to cover our sin, God will uncover it. But if we'll uncover it, God will cover it. Isn't that right, brethren? Amen. And so, transgression, it's rebellion. Sin, look at the word he used in verse number 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word imputeth is a great word. It's an accounting term. It means God won't record it. God doesn't record. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not record your iniquity. Now, the word iniquity is a word that means twisted. It's distorted. And so here David said, I don't want to be light on myself. I sinned against God. I did wrong. I sinned against light. I knew better. I transgressed. I crossed the line. I didn't live up to the standard of the king. I didn't live up to the standard of the office that God put me in. I didn't live up to the standard of a child of God. I was distorted. It was iniquity. I was twisted. See, David, you see what David's doing? He's saying, I hate that I did that. I hate that I did that. I'm calling it what it is. It's a glad day in my life when I was taught, and I was taught this, when you're confessing your sin, confess it the way you committed it, in detail. Right, brethren? Isn't it amazing how that we can say, God, forgive, and when we're talking about someone else, I mean, we'll name it out. I mean, we'll just have a whole list of their sin. And then when it comes to us, God, if I've wronged you now, if I've sinned against you in any way, forgive me of it. Hey, listen, that's not the way you committed the sin, is in general. Don't confess it that way. See what David is doing here? He's calling it what it is. He said, it was wicked. I transgressed. I was full of rebellion. God put a warning sign when I said, hey, who's that woman? Bring her to me. And God put a red flashing light, and somebody said, hey, isn't that Bathsheba? Isn't that Uriah's wife? Hey, there ought to be flashing lights going off. Can I tell you, God will always warn us before we transgress. God will always say, don't do that. And a lot of times we'll just plow right on anyway. That's transgression. That's rebellion. And David said, I realized that I was in rebellion, and God, I am so thankful that you have forgiven me. And he said, a man that realizes he's transgressed against God and he's gotten forgiveness, he said, that sure is a happy man. And he said, number 2, he said, a man whose sin is covered, that sure is a happy man. Look at verse number 2. He said, and the man in whom the Lord will not record that iniquity, that twisted, distorted way of life, he said, that sure is a blessed, a happy man. And then he said this, in whose mouth there is no guile. There's no more trying to cover it and hide it now. There's no more deception. You've confessed it to God, and now you can move on with your life. Isn't that what David's saying? See, that's the way you get happy. That's the way you stay happy. If we have sin in our lives, we're unhappy people. Sin makes us unhappy. Forgiveness makes us happy. Are you happy? If so, why? Say, well, I'm forgiven. Praise God. Amen. Are you walking in the forgiveness of Christ? Are you unhappy? If so, why? Is there sin? Is there transgression? Is there iniquity that you're trying to deceive and cover? And we're all, listen, we're all kind of wired that way. We need God to help us. We need God's Word to convict us. We need God's man to prod us. We need God's Holy Spirit to move us and say, get that right. So I press upon you this morning. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, you're unhappy. And I pray that you would confess it before the Lord. You don't have to confess it to the preacher. You don't have to confess it to really anyone. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You confess it to God. Get that thing right with God. It may not be adultery. Maybe. I don't know. May not be murder. May not be what some people would categorize as a big sin. It may be that God told you to do something and you didn't do it. You know it was right to do it and you didn't do it. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You've missed the mark. Amen. It's sin. You've missed the mark. God gave you a target. God gave you an assignment. God gave me an assignment. And when we do not follow through with that assignment, we miss the mark. And God said, that's sin. And you need to confess it. And so David said, this was what I've experienced. He said, but now I want to go back. I'm blessed. I'm happy. And he said, I know that every person is, when they come clean with God and when they get right with God. He said in verse number 3, he said, when I kept silence, he said, I want to tell you about the past, why I'm happy. I want to tell you about why I'm excited. I want to tell you about why I'm thrilled that I'm forgiven. He said, because when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You see that word roaring? It means groaning. It means burdened. Right? Burdened. David was under the burden. Every day was a grind. He wasn't enjoying life. God wants us to enjoy life and see good days. Is that what the scripture teaches? God wants us to enjoy this life. Can I tell you, when we're enjoying life, people gravitate to us. People want to know what it is. What it is that's the source of that joy and that happiness in our lives. Because everybody wants to be happy. You know, there's people that are going to any lengths. You just look around you. You talk to people on a regular basis and you'll find people are going to any lengths to be happy. They just want to be happy. I mean, they would sell all they could and all they have just to be happy. They just want to be happy. They'd beg it. They'd steal it if it could be stolen. They just want to be happy. And yet, can I tell you, there's nothing in this world that's going to bring the happiness that's deep and lasting. Only God can give that. And it starts out with forgiveness. There has to be forgiveness. The devil will try to do everything he can to keep me from confessing my sin, confessing and admitting and acknowledging my transgression and my iniquity, because he wants to keep me bound. Are you listening? Bound and unhappy. And so he said, number one, he said, this man is blessed. He said, I'm a blessed man. He said, so is every man. He said, I've experienced something that everyone can experience. He said, I'll tell you what, there was a time when I kept silence, and he said, when I did, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He said, it affected me physically, emotionally, spiritually. It affected every aspect of my life. I found myself unhappy. I found myself just going through the motions. I found myself just life was a drudgery. Every day was a grind. Why? Because I was covering my sin. I was hiding. I wasn't coming clean with God. That relationship with my Maker was broken. There was no fellowship there. And so he said, I kept silence. I believe that, as I said, could mean a lot of things. I think he kept silence before God. He didn't tell him. I think God dealt with his heart about it. Can I tell you, when I sin, God deals with my heart instantly about it. Now, whether I deal with it or not, well, that's another matter. But if you're saved, when you sin, God will let you know just like that, you've done wrong. Amen, Christians? Amen. As a matter of fact, I want to go on record here and say, for those of you that may be in our building today that's not saved or watching by live stream, we give a lot of leverage to people that are not saved, but can I tell you, God has given a conscience, and Jesus Christ is the light of every man that cometh into the world, and Jesus will let you know when you've done wrong. He will. People say, well, he probably didn't know. I don't think that. I think he probably didn't care. Just like a lot of us sinners. Amen. Paul said, thou art inexcusable, old man. Yes. And so he says here, he said, I was burdened. I had no song. I had no testimony. I didn't want to talk about God. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about sports. We can talk about the government. But when you are silent, when you sin, it's covered, when you're not confessing, when that fellowship's been broken, you really don't want to talk about the things of God too much. You ever notice that? Amen. What part of your day is spent talking about God? The things of God, the Word of God, the goodness of God. You see, when our relationship is altered and our fellowship is broken, it causes us to be silent. Then if you look at verse number 4, he said, not only was there a burden, he said, I was barren. He said, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Lost my tears. Barren. God's hand was heavy on me. Everywhere I went, all I could hear was, you need to get right with God. Every time somebody spoke, that's what makes people irritable, you know? So you miss a church service, and you did it because you were lazy. You did it because you'd done something that you know you shouldn't have been doing during the time you should be in the house of God, and somebody says, hey, brother, we missed you. Well, you know, I just couldn't be here, okay? You know, that's what it makes you. Look what he said here. Look again at verse number 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, like a drought. Right? I can't tell you how many times people's come to me and said, now, Pastor, I want you to hold me accountable. I don't know about that. Hold me accountable. And then when you start holding people accountable, well, you know, sometimes I wish the preacher would just butt out of my business. Well, you told me to hold you accountable. Amen. Right? You see, it makes us all irritable, frustrated. It's not happy, not blessed. We're ready to just jump down someone's throat. Right? Yeah. Puts us in a foul spirit. Unconfessed sin does, brethren. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm going through some changes here. I'm finding myself, I'm frustrated all the time, and I'm angry, and I just have a foul, bad spirit all the time, preacher. What could it be? Well, it could be unconfessed sin. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it could be, because it'll sure make you that way. So how do you know? Take one guess. I've been there. Unconfessed sin will make you defensive. Won't it? When you're not doing what you know God has commissioned you to do, when I'm not doing what I know God has commissioned me to do, when we're not living the way God said we're to live as born-again children of God, I mean, we'll get frustrated. We'll get in a bad way, brethren. We'll get defensive in life. We won't be teachable. We won't be pliable. And when someone comes up out of concern and in love, we take it all wrong and we say, well, you know, sometimes I wish those people down there at Fellowship Baptist Church just mind their own business, you see. Right? What you mean is you wish they'd just quit holding you accountable. Let you go on and do your way and mess your life up. Well, you know what? As your pastor, by the grace of God, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do it. And David said, all the day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Aren't you glad God won't leave you alone too? I'm glad God won't leave us alone. Sometimes we think we want God to. Isn't that right, brother? Now, come on now. We think we want God to leave us alone. I always think about that scripture over there in Mark. I think it's chapter 1 or 2 where those devils was in that man in the synagogue. And they said, Jesus went up to him and they said, leave us alone. Just let us alone. And I thought about that's the cry of so many today. I wish that church down there would just leave us alone. Quit coming and knocking on our doors and quit telling us about this and quit trying to get my children on the bus and quit trying this. And I wish that pastor would just leave me alone. Well, thank God Jesus will never leave you alone. When Jesus begins to leave you alone, your life is in dire, dire jeopardy. I'm glad God didn't leave me alone. I'm glad God stayed on me, amen. I'm glad God pursued me and came after me. I may not have said it verbally, I can't recall, but I know that in my soul, I was thinking, I just wish those church people would go away and quit talking to me about church and the Bible. I don't know anything about that, and I don't want to know anything about it. I am so glad that God kept pursuing me and did not leave me alone. He came after me, brethren. He just pursued, and he pursued, and he pursued, and he pursued, amen. We ought to be thankful to God for parents and preachers and Christians and brethren that will not leave us alone. I'm glad that David realized what was going on in his life, and he said, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I knew God was dealing with me. I knew God was dealing with me. And I was trying to block it out. Can I tell you, you may be able for a moment to get away from the convicting power of God, but you'll never get completely away from it if you're a child of God. And if you do, your transport out of this world is really close by. Because when God sears the conscience, God puts you on the shelf, it's moving out time if you're a child of God. David said, I knew God was dealing with me. My moisture is turning to the drought of summer, Selah. I want to close with this. You say, I thought you was going to go through all them verses. I was starting to get a little concerned, preacher. No. I want to close with this. David, you said you understood that a man who's forgiven is blessed. You said that a man whose sin is covered is blessed. You said in verse number 2, the man in whom the Lord doesn't impute iniquity is blessed. He's happy. And you told us a time when you were unhappy. How did that happen? How can that happen? How can that happen for you that are here today? How can that happen for those who are watching by live stream? How can that happen in our lives even moving forward if we're not here this morning, if we ever get right here? How can that happen? Well, David said this, he said in verse number 5, I acknowledge my sin. That's the first step. I've done wrong. It's hard to come to that place sometimes in life, isn't it? Isn't it, brethren? It's hard. David just said, I acknowledged my sin. I've done this. Notice in verse number 5, our three words are mentioned again. I'm not going to take the time to go through these, but it's interesting to me. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine, here's our second word, iniquity, have I not hid. There's where I was looking for earlier. And I said, I will confess my transgressions. There's our three words. See, David, he called the sin what it was, but when he confessed it, he called it what it was too. You see that? And he said, I acknowledged it. The word acknowledge just means I said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Amen. God, you're right about this. It's me that's wrong. And God, I agree with you. That's what confession and acknowledgement is. It's just saying, God, you're right about this. And I agree with what your word says. I was wrong. It sounds so easy when we're talking about it. But when we get into a place where we've sinned against God, we've crossed the line, we've done something distorted, and crooked. The old enemy's there saying, don't worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Just let that go. Just kind of let that one slide. Isn't the enemy there? And God the whole way is pressing on us like he did David. Heavy on us saying, confess. Confess. Acknowledge. And David said, I did. That's how you get forgiveness. Acknowledgement. And forgiveness brings happiness. Are you happy? I hope you are. Can I tell you God wants you to be? Now, I didn't say God wants you to be without problems. I'm not saying that. It's not what I'm preaching this morning. We all have problems. Can I tell you, not only do we all have problems that only God can solve. Amen. So don't leave here saying, well, I think I'm going to try that so I'll never have a problem again. David had more problems. But he knew what it was to have that source of joy and happiness in his life, even in the midst of problems and hardships and sorrow. These are all part of our lives. But yet we can have that communion with God that gives that deep-seated peace and rest and happiness, joy. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. So I'm going to stand and tell everybody my sin. I think I'd talk to God about it first and then see where you want to go from there. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. Tired of covering it, trying to justify. I'm tired of that. God, it's what you said it was. It's sin. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then he said this. He said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And he said, when I said that, and I believe he did it, he said, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's how you get forgiveness. You acknowledge it. You confess it. You don't try to cover and hide it. You just come clean before God, and God said he'd forgive you. And when he does, verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, there's much more in this psalm. Much more. But we'll stop there today. How can you be happy? We're all sinners. We're bent towards sin. I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I'm glad as I walk in the Spirit, I can walk in the light. And I can have the blood of Jesus cleansing me from all sin. But now when I begin to follow my own path and to do my own thing and think my own way, I get in trouble. And I might think something or say something or do something that God said, that's not right. And I can try to justify it in my mind and say, well, they done this or he done that or she done that. That doesn't excuse me doing wrong. It doesn't. There is no excuse for doing wrong. The way we handle the wrong, the sin in our life, is confess it, not excuse it. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. You want to be happy? I think you do. As a matter of fact, I think everyone does. I think everyone wants to be happy. Are you happy? So, well, there's a lot going on in my life, preacher, that won't allow me to be happy. I don't believe that. I will not doubt that there's a lot going on in all of our lives, but it should not affect the deep happiness we can have, the joy that we can have in our heart from our relationship with God and our fellowship with Christ. We can have joy in the midst of sorrow. The Bible teaches it. The question is, are we experiencing it? And if we're not, we can. We just keep our sin confessed. Sin makes us unhappy people. Let's bow our heads together. Are you happy? Say, preacher, I'm happy. Well, I'm glad you are. And I mean that. I'm glad you're happy. I